Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi. It has been an interesting 24 hours, a scary, terrifying, and sad 24 hours in the sport of football across the National Football League based on what we saw on Monday night in Cincinnati. Joe Lisi, thank you for being here today, of course, on FFC. Surrounding DeMar Hamlin's condition, the second-year pro, the safety for the Buffalo Bills, who collapsed last night midway through the first quarter on the turf in the Bills' Monday night football game against the Bengals. Joe will try to give it its due today to have honest, transparent conversations to provide any information, context, and perspective that we can. We will not speculate. We will not use conjecture. We will work off the information that we have to talk and have the conversations about the individual and the human being that is DeMar Hamlin. As we quickly transitioned last night, Joe, the football did not feel nearly as important and certainly paled in significance to the life and the human being that is DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, I mean, the game of life took over last night, right? Unfortunate circumstances out in Cincinnati, and obviously our thoughts and prayers out to the DeMar Hamlin family, and want to see this young man get through whatever he's dealing with right now. We did have an initial report about 16 minutes ago from his marketing rep, Jordan Rooney, that said, you know, he was stabilized. The family came out and said that, you know, they'll keep us updated, but he's still in critical condition. He's fighting for his life, and that is first and foremost. The game of football takes a back seat right now. We need to hear that DeMar Hamlin is recovering and getting better, and until we get that, you know, everything else is secondary right now. And you know, the fact that it happened on a national stage, right, where the millions of people were watching, you could just see the outpouring of support right now, Ben, and everybody's just, you know, just waiting. It's like something was taken from us last night, and obviously, you know, that is DeMar Hamlin. We want to see him get better, and we want to see him make a complete full recovery.
Well said, Joe, because last night, the significance of the game entering, as Joe and I discussed yesterday on FFC, it was one of the most important games of the 2022 NFL season. Two of the best teams in the entire National Football League, two of the front runners to win Super Bowl 57 and an AFC championship, with positioning in the AFC postseason picture in the second to last week of the season very much at stake. But all of that significance, Joe, for the result and the outcome of the football game itself does not matter anymore. Joe, the reason we love football, the reason we love sports in general, is because of the significance that it carries in our lives. But quickly, sometimes, the significance of sports and being the most important thing in our lives, our parlay hitting, if possible, our best bet winning for a given Monday night football game, becomes the least significant thing possible, incredibly insignificant to the overall scope of what we deal with on a daily basis. And that is what we saw last night in Cincinnati. Joe, just to spell out the timeline a little bit here for anybody that needs the information, around 8:55 p.m. Eastern time, again, midway through the first quarter with the Bengals ahead 7-3, T. Higgins catches a pass. He is tackled by DeMar Hamlin. DeMar gets back up, stumbles, and then collapses back onto the turf after just a few seconds. That was 8:55 p.m. Eastern time. The game is then temporarily suspended about 20 20 minutes after that, about half an hour after the initial collapse on the turf, Damar Hamlin is escorted off in an ambulance and taken to UC Medical Center, the University of Cincinnati Medical Center there in Cincinnati. A little bit after 10 p.m. Eastern time, the NFL eventually makes the right call and officially postpones the game between the Bengals and the Bills. Joe, one of the few statements that we have is everybody has looked for information, obviously understanding of the scenario that we are in. The latest update that we have comes a little bit before 2 a.m. Eastern time. We got that from his marketing rep in Jordan Rooney in the Buffalo Bills statement in the overnight hours as well, Joe. At 1:30 or 1:48 a.m. Eastern time, rather, the statement from the Bills reading, Damar Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest following a hit in our game versus the Bengals. His heartbeat was restored on the field, and he was transferred to the UC Medical Center for further testing and treatment. He is currently sedated and listed in critical condition. So that is the latest update that we have, Joe, and there hopefully is some optimism from that and all of the conversations around this. Of course, nobody has really experienced anything like this. It is an unprecedented event, Joe, for all eyeballs to be on this significant Monday night football game and to have that shared sense of grief of watching not a football player or a Bills safety, but an individual, a human being in Damar Hamlin pass out and collapse onto the turf, Joe. That is what we are dealing with at this moment. We'll provide the update from Damar Hamlin's family that they just released about 15 minutes ago on the other side of the break. We'll continue to provide updates here on Football Full Circle, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network from a scary, terrifying scene last night in Cincinnati for Monday Night Football between the Bills and the Bengals as we continue to update the condition of Damar Hamlin up next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle. A different show on this Tuesday than was expected, unfortunately, because Joe, again, on Monday Night Football, an incredibly scary scene. Terrifying in Cincinnati as Damar Hamlin, a second-year safety for the Buffalo Bills, collapses on the turf. Joe, we shared the update a little bit ago from the Buffalo Bills in the overnight hours, and now a statement out from Damar Hamlin's family themselves. On behalf of our family, we want to express our sincere gratitude for the love and support shown to Damar during this challenging time. We are deeply moved by the prayers, kind words, and donations from fans around the country. We also want to acknowledge the dedicated first responders and healthcare professionals at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center who have provided exceptional care to Damar. We feel so blessed to be a part of the Buffalo Bills organization and to have their support. We also want to thank Coach Taylor and the Bengals for everything they've done. Your generosity and compassion mean the world to us. Please keep Damar in your prayers. We will release updates as soon as we have them. Thank you, the Hamlin family. Joe, I think in these situations, there was a lot of conjecture last night on social media about how the timeline played out, the process of the NFL ultimately making the right decision to postpone the game indefinitely between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. As we all realized very quickly, football meant absolutely nothing. The outcome of the game between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals meant nothing as it compared to the human being and the life of Damar Hamlin. But there was some conjecture about the timeline of how everything played out in the National Football League ranks yesterday. But now, Joe, I think the focus more so is on the character of Damar Hamlin, because in these terrifying times, Joe, there is a restoration of humanity that comes from it, because we got to learn a little bit about Damar Hamlin as well. I'm sure many people out there, even the staunchest of NFL fans, weren't entirely sure of the name of Damar Hamlin. For a little background on Damar, he was a four-star recruit, Joe, out of Pittsburgh Central Catholic High School. He was the highest-ranked defensive recruit in his recruiting class in the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He had offers from Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, Clemson, some of the biggest football programs in all of college football. But he decides to stay at Pittsburgh because he wanted to make an impact on his hometown. That speaks to his character, Joe. And then we have seen a GoFundMe link shared for Damar Hamlin's Chasing M's Foundation in a toy drive fundraiser he started after his career at Pitt in 2020. The initial goal, Joe, was $2,500. At last check, the donations are well north of $3.9 million. And the hope and the optimism is, Joe, that DeMar Hamlin does recover, does get through this successfully, and gets to see all of the good that he as an individual, all of the good his character has on his community, and potentially a silver lining from this situation.
Yeah, and if you've heard DeMar Hamlin speak in some of the interviews throughout the last couple of years, he was all about love, right? Loving others, because you never know when you're not going to see those people again. And that was one of the messages that he had brought out. And it's amazing to see how everyone, men, women, children, have all rallied around this situation. Now, obviously, the final piece of that is DeMar Hamlin is good. You know, he makes a complete recovery. At the end of the day, again, the football is insignificant. What he did off the field as an individual, a person that just was just a great individual and loved others and gave back to the community. And didn't just do it, Ben, when he became an NFL player, right? You mentioned it in high school and obviously in college playing for Pat Narduzzi. So this was part of his character. He's a great young man, and it's sickening to see this situation play out, unfortunately, on national television, where the world will see, but hopefully some positive comes out of it. The biggest news and the biggest positive is that he pulls through, and then we could all rally around this situation in terms of him making a complete recovery.
Absolutely so, Joe, and that is the hope, that is the optimism as of right now. Joe, neither of us are medical professionals. We're not going to offer up medical expertise or insight. Just try to provide information as context as best as we can. Because on the morning after, on this Tuesday, we had the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, on the show. And he often says, Joe, his team at Sports Injury Central, SICScore.com, they're not in the meeting rooms. They're not on the sidelines. They do not delve into speculation. They work off the information that they have to try to provide some medical or injury analysis. Often it's a sprained ankle or something of the sort. Not like anything we saw last night with DeMar Hamlin collapsing on the turf in Cincinnati. But Dr. Chow provided, I thought, some necessary perspective, some needed and useful perspective at the very least, Joe, to this situation. As he detailed for us the immediate response we saw from both medical staffs of the Bengals and the Bills last night in the treatment and the rapid response for DeMar Hamlin. And as Dr. Chow told me, Joe, outside of a hospital, potentially the best place to suffer anything like this tragic incident is on a football field. Because of the coordinated response, because of all the eyeballs on you and the medical staffs that have these procedures in place, God forbid something like this has to happen. And they went into action right away. And as the Buffalo Bills statement was released overnight, Joe, and we learned through the broadcast, CPR was administered right there on the football field. His heartbeat was restored, and he was stable, albeit in critical condition, but stable as he entered the ambulance and left the field last night in Cincinnati before he was taken to the UC Medical Center. Dr. Chow also provided this, Joe, is the idea that DeMar's family was in attendance last night in Cincinnati, as it was reported on the telecast on ESPN. DeMar's mother rode with him in the ambulance, and Dr. Chow's medical experience, if the individual is not stable, they go right away. They are in a rush, obviously, to take every life-saving measure they possibly can. The fact that they waited for DeMar's mother to come down to the turf to be there with her son in an incredibly harrowing incident, and the fact they went together to the hospital is at least an optimistic sign. We're not going to speculate. We're not going to provide conjecture into what it all means. Certainly not from the medical perspective, Joe. I'm just trying to add the information in the context that Dr. David Chow provided for me that I found useful, that I found a little bit of semblance in, and hopefully our listeners feel the same.
Yeah, and I didn't know that either. So that's great in terms of hearing that situation. Obviously, that is one piece of positive news that we can hold. Until we get further, updates on his health and well being. I will say that I also heard that the University of Cincinnati used to be the first responder for the Cincinnati Bengals team, and that is one of the best places in terms of this type of situation. So hopefully at at the end of the day, we get an update within the next couple hours that he's doing well. But again, everybody's hanging on this situation, and we want to see him get better. And we can't speculate. It's unfortunate. This is how frail life is. You know, one minute he's playing football, the next minute he's being administered CPR in a matter of minutes. So, you know, take every day for what it's worth, value the person, value what he signified on and off the field. And at the end of the day, our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family right now.
Certainly so, Joe. And I think that was expressed a ton last night and bears repeating and bears the echoing of that sentiment. Damar Hamlin entered last night's game hoping to make an impact on the football field for his Buffalo Bills in the chase for the AFC's number one spot as we round out this regular season, as Buffalo is the favorite to win the Super Bowl in the AFC and has all of that optimism throughout the rest of this football season. And at the end of the night, Damar Hamlin is now in a battle for his life. And that is the focus, the human being in Damar Hamlin, who obviously needs all of our love, our support, and our prayers at this moment. And we will continue to provide any further updates that we come into here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and throughout the show on Football Full Circle. We'll be back on the other side of the break here on FFC. Stay with us on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back here on Football Full Circle. As any more updates, if they do come on Damar Hamlin's condition, again, the second-year pro for the Buffalo Bills out of Pittsburgh, if anything comes our way over the course of Football Full Circle, we will continue to provide any updates at all on Damar Hamlin's situation and condition. Joe, it's never an easy transition to go elsewhere around the football landscape, but January 2nd is a big day in the sport of college football. Four bowl games on January 2nd, the second day of 2023. And Joe, if it's college football and it's the start of a new year, that means one thing above all else. The granddaddy of them all, the 109th playing of the Rose Bowl under the San Gabriel Mountains in Pasadena, California, albeit a cloudy, rainy Pasadena, California on January 2nd, 2023. And Joe, Penn State ends the year with another highlight. Their 11th win of the 2022 college football campaign, knocking off Utah in the Rose Bowl 35-21. Joe, the Nittany Lions closed as a short 1.5-point favorite after being the underdogs for most of the bowl prep season leading in to the Rose Bowl, but they get the victory outright, winning by 2 touchdowns, easily covering the number. And again, Joe, the 11th win of the 2022 season for James Franklin and Penn State.
Yeah, dominant effort on both sides of the ball. Now, Cam Rising, the Utah quarterback, did get hurt. It was a tied ball game, but Singleton, Katron Allen, and that rushing attack put up over 169 yards on that defense, over 5 yards per carry in the second half of that ball game. They just dominated at the point of attack, and Penn State proved that they were one of the better teams in terms of not only the Big Ten, but in all of college football. Their only 2 losses, Ben, came at the hands of Ohio State and Michigan in the conference. So, you know, this is a team right now that needs to build momentum. I mean, at the end of the day, Sean Clifford moves on. It is the Drew Allaire show, obviously, in 2023. Can James Franklin take this team to the next level? That remains to be seen, because in big ball games, when everything and all the chips are in the middle of the table, for the most part, James Franklin hasn't lived up to expectations in that regard, but he has a great solid foundation for 2023 with both of those running backs, and they're going to be one of the top 10 teams, in my opinion, from a talent perspective, in all of the country next year.
Absolutely so, Joe. I believe they will be ranked inside the preseason AP top 10 entering 2023. We'll focus on the optimism for the future, Joe, in just a moment in Happy Valley. But I do want to highlight a few things here for the Penn State Nittany Lions. Joe, 2020 was a miserable season for Penn State. They started off 0-5, the worst start in the history of that football program, before rallying off 4 straight wins. They got all the way to the top 5, Joe, in 2021, a very strong 6-0 start, before they lost six of their next seven games for a 7-6 overall finish. So 11 combined wins, Joe, in two seasons of 2020 and 21. They finish out 22 with 11 wins. As many wins in one year, Joe, as the previous two in state college. And 11 wins, frankly, is the level of expectation at bare minimum for Penn State, Joe, because they have now won 11 games in four of the last seven seasons. A testament to James Franklin, who also brings in a top 10 recruiting class for 2023. There should be optimism moving forward in state college. And they will move forward, Joe, with a different quarterback for the first time in what feels like a decade. I kid slightly, but Sean Clifford was a member of Penn State's football program, Joe, for 6 years. He backed up Trace McSorley to start. Then he came in. He had an up and down career in Penn State. But when you're there for as long as he was, as you're in the college ranks, Joe, for as long as he was, you are expected to ascend to a different playing level each and every year, and you open yourself up to some criticism. He will go down as a record holder for a very long time in Penn State's football program, Joe, and he finishes out the Rose Bowl 16 of 22, 279 yards, and two touchdowns, capping off his stellar historic Penn State career with the second ever Rose Bowl victory in the history of Penn State football. And another record at the Rose Bowl, Joe, an 88-yard pass to Keandre Lambert-Smith for a touchdown, the longest ever touchdown reception in the history, 109 years of the playing of the Rose Bowl. So I found it lovely, Joe, to see Sean Clifford end his career on a high note for what he has meant to this Penn State program.
And especially after last year when they lost to Arkansas, Sean Clifford did not play well in that ball game. Actually exited with an injury in that matchup and gave way to the backups in that loss. So it's great to see him go out with a victory. And at the end of the day, Ben, you know, he played well throughout the two losses as well, for the most part, right? Didn't have that full four-quarter effort. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Ohio State for 3.5 quarters, and at the end, his interception basically cost the Penn State Nittany Lions that ballgame. Same thing, obviously, with Michigan. They were there toe-to-toe in terms of the halftime, one-score game, and then, obviously, in the second half, the defense fell apart. So, at the end of the day, he brought stability to this program this year. He moves on, hopefully, to the NFL. Maybe he can make it and stick on with a team. I don't think, in terms of this perspective, he's obviously a top four or in terms of first round draft pick, you know, top four rounds, maybe a fifth or a sixth in that regard. But at the end of the day, he helped elevate this program. Penn State has been here before. A few years ago with Franklin, they got to Memphis. They won the New Year's Bowl game. They were an 11-win football team as well. And then, obviously, they had some bumpy roads along the way. So can they maintain the consistency now? 10-win regular season? Can they elevate it next year to potentially 11-1 or 12-0?
Very easily over their win total of 8.5 in the preseason, Joe. And like you mentioned, Penn State's only two losses this year against half of the four teams in the college football playoff. They were booked as a dog in both of those games. They close as the slight favorite in the Rose Bowl, 8-2-1, Joe, against the spread as a favorite this year, one of the best cover percentages as a favorite in all of college football. And there is that optimism as well for Penn State moving forward. Drew Aller is the quarterback moving forward, one of the highest rated recruits to play the QB position in the history of Penn State football. He will be a sophomore next year, as will his running mates in the backfield, both Catron Allen, Joe, and Nicholas Singleton, true highlights in their freshman campaigns in state college. Both showed that in the Rose Bowl. Nicholas Singleton had an 87-yard touchdown run, the third longest in the history of the granddaddy of them all. They're back next year as well for Penn State, who Joe and I both believe will start the next season in the AP top 10 of the preseason poll. The first New Year's Six, Joe, was a tremendous football game in Arlington at the Cotton Bowl, USC and Tulane. The line worked in the Trojans' favor prior to kick because we got confirmation that the Heisman winner in Caleb Williams would play for the Trojans against the Green Wave. They grew to a 2.5-point favorite. They were up by 15 points, Joe, 45-30 in the final 4.5 minutes of regulation, and the Green Wave comes back, crashing on USC's parade, responding for a 46-45 come-from-behind victory outright as a 2.5-point underdog. Joe, it wasn't just the comeback in this individual bowl game in the Cotton Bowl against USC. It was the overall turnaround that Willie Fritz orchestrated this year in New Orleans. A two-win football team, Joe Lisi. A two-win football team. That's what the Green Wave was in 2021. They win off, or they end off this year with a win in the Cotton Bowl and a 12-win season. The largest turnaround in FBS history, Joe. That is what Willie Fritz has meant to this Tulane football program, and we saw it on display in the Cotton Bowl as well.
And think about last year for a second. It starts with the hurricane in week one, right, in terms of Louisiana. They get displaced. They go, instead of playing a home game against Oklahoma, they go on the road to Norman as 26.5-point underdogs and almost strike the upset with Michael Pratt on a fourth down play, right? That was their best game of the season, and then the rest of the way they fell off a cliff. Turn to this year, right? Yeah. Caleb Williams plays, all the optimism, USC a 2.5-point favorite. It looks like they're going to just beat them down. They're winning, like you mentioned, 15 points. And here comes Michael Pratt and Tajay Spears. Tajay Spears, 3 touchdowns on the ground, over 200 yards rushing. Pratt, 200 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns. He also adds 83 on the ground. And the Achilles heel for the whole season of USC, the main reason why they're not in the college football playoff is because of the defense. It's amazing. So a great effort by Willie Fritz. He's a coach that's blue collar. I love him because he predicates offense and defense aligned physicality. And that's what you saw on display in the fourth quarter. When the chips were on the table, Tulane took it right to the front seven of USC. And what's amazing is that you saw Alex Grinch and that defense search for answers. You had players like Lendale White and Matt Leiner calling out Grinch and saying that Don't break defense ain't going to cut it in the Pac-12. Well, they have to do something for 2023, Ben.
Joe, there is an idea that turnover luck is hard to sustain, and that's what USC had most of this year. They would cause a crucial turnover to close out a football game. But when you look at the Trojans' 3 losses this year, the 2 against Utah, 43 in the regular season, 47 allowed in that Pac-12 title game, keeping them out of the college football playoff, and then 46 against Tulane in the Cotton Bowl. Tajay Spears, Joe, will finish the year with 8 consecutive games rushing for more than 120 yards, 17 carries, 205 on the ground, and 4 TDs against SC in the Cotton Bowl. We'll continue to go around what we saw in college football up next here on Football Full Circle live on the Sports Grid Radio, plus some significant line movement for the national championship game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Football Full Circle. Again, if there are any further updates on DeMar Hamlin's situation and his condition, of course, the second-year pro, the safety for the Buffalo Bills, who collapsed on the turf last night in Cincinnati. We will provide them here on Football Full Circle. January 2nd, a big day in the sport of college football. Breaking down the Cotton Bowl with Joe Lisi here live on FFC. Joe, I was sharing the struggles USC's defense has had in their 3 losses this year. They have allowed 43, 47, and 46 points. That defense, coordinated by Alex Grinch, who came over with Lincoln Riley, Joe, from Norman, Oklahoma, wasted away a record performance from the Heisman winner in Caleb Williams. 37 of 52, 462 passing yards, a Cotton Bowl record, 5 passing touchdowns, and despite a 15-point fourth quarter lead in the final 5 minutes of regulation, Joe, it was not enough because of the faults of that USC defense that will end the year allowing more than 29 points per game on average. So, Joe, what do you think Alex Grinch's future is in Southern California?
Well, I mean, it's a first year, right? So he can only handle the personnel that he has, right? But that was the weakness of under Clay Helton as well. The weakness was in run support. They were allowing, entering the year, 165 yards per game last year. So at the end of the day, you could only take the talent that you have, cultivate it up. From a scheme perspective, I think they could have did some things a little bit differently, right? You know, they were plus 21, like you mentioned, for much of the year in terms of turnover margin. Part of that is due to Alex Grinch and the attacking type of play that they like to have in terms of the linebackers, in terms of if you watched his teams in Oklahoma, he has speedy linebackers. They're not big, bulky guys in terms of run support. They're better in pass coverage and obviously can run sideline to sideline. But the weakness is when you run directly at them, they don't sustain to the physicality of big physical offensive lines that want to run it down your throat. That is why Oklahoma never won a college football playoff game in the four times they were there. So what do? You have to recruit better. You have to recruit players that obviously have a mentality to play defense, and then you have to switch up the scheme. You have to see what worked, what didn't work. I would give him one more year, potentially, but if Jim Leonard's there, or another defensive coordinator, a la, let's say, Jim Knowles that took Oklahoma State and now Ohio State to the next level. If you could get that type of guy, you bring him in immediately. But at the end of the day, it's not an immediate fix because of the type of players that they have had in USC for now the last three or four seasons, Ben.
There was a lot of roster turnover on both sides of the football, but the names that stole our attention, Joe, of course, were Caleb Williams in the transfer portal coming over to start 2022 with his former head coach, Lincoln Riley, in Norman. We had Travis Dye making his way down from Oregon. He was injured before the year got underway, so they turned to Austin Jones, the reliable veteran running back for SC. And, of course, Jordan Addison, the transfer from Pitt, who did not play in this football game for USC, as he has declared for the 2023 NFL draft. But Tajay Spears, Joe, ran all over. 17 carries, 205 yards, 4 touchdowns. Michael Pratt adds 83 on the ground. An SC team that gave up 223 in terms of rushing yards to Utah in the Pac-12 title game allowed the Green Wave to run on them for 305. Joey highlighted Tajay Spears as we were doing our breakdown for this Cotton Bowl on College Football Today on Saturday. The prop was not out yet. I said it did not matter. I would bet the over. It was 120.5. He sailed over that number early in the second half because he is a big play back at any time. Joe, 205 yards for Tajay Spears yesterday. An average yard per carry of 12.1 yards per rush attempt. He entered that Cotton Bowl against USC yesterday, averaging nearly 8 yards per carry over a span of his most recent 7 games, and he did one better, upping that average in the Cotton Bowl against USC. Truly a tremendous back for Tulane and a huge component of that Green Wave offense. And there should be some optimism for Tulane moving forward. They got Willie Fritz to stay after he was a hot commodity in the coaching carousel. They extended him. He remains in New Orleans. Michael Pratt will be back next year for Tulane as well. The champions of the AAC, Joe, the highest ranked Group of Five team this year. We obviously know the Group of Five success is not just a single season process. We'll see how it looks for 2023. Elsewhere, Joe, the day got started with an emotional, memorable, and special scene in Tampa Bay, Florida for the ReliaQuest Bowl between Illinois and Mississippi State. It felt fitting to me, Joe, that the scene in Tampa played at the Raymond James Stadium where the Buccaneers play their home football games. There's a large pirate ship that overlooks the entirety of the stands and the football stadium there in Tampa. It felt right, Joe, that the game to honor the memory of the man known as the Pirate, Mike Leach, was played at Raymond James. The first game for Mississippi State since the unfortunate, sad, and tragic passing of Mike Leach at the age of 61 years old. Joe, of course we knew it was going to be emotional. Of course we knew the Bulldogs would want to win one for Mike Leach one final time. In the first game under new head coach Zach Arnett, who was the defensive coordinator in Starkville under Leach for all three of his seasons, led by the quarterback in Will Rogers, who was there with Mike Leach, Joe, for all three of his seasons at the helm of the Mississippi State football program. It maybe wasn't the air raid attack that Mike Leach popularized and made famous and left his lasting impact on the game, but it still was a victory for the Bulldogs. 19-10 over Illinois, and maybe the Pirate was looking down and smiling, Joe, as his team pulled off the backdoor cover as three and a half point favorites. As Illinois tries to pitch out the game, maybe score as the clock hits zero, it's picked up and returned for a 60-yard touchdown to close out the game with a score, a 19-10 final in favor of Mississippi State, and they cover as 3-point favorites.
And think about how good the defense was last night under Zach Arnett. They held Illinois to 1.2 yards per carry and less than 50 yards rushing, 35 on the afternoon. That was an Illinois offense, even without Chase Brown, that was averaging basically 180 yards per game. Right, and they absolutely neutralized them, put the ball game on Tommy DeVito's shoulders, and they stepped up. And Will Rogers and that offense made plays when they had to. He didn't get over his total, but he threw for 274 in that matchup. They get the critical field goal and put their team in a position, like you mentioned, to get that touchdown at the end, and they won this ball game in the trenches. You know, they found a way to gut it out, and you have to credit every individual on that Mississippi State Bulldog team, because they were dealing with sorrow. They were dealing with, obviously, emotional loss. And they found a way to regroup and get the victory over a quality Big Ten team. One of the best secondaries as well in all of college football. We talked about it for ad nauseum, how good this Illinois secondary was. 49% completion percentage. They only allowed 8 passing touchdowns all year long and forced 22 interceptions. Great effort. And the defense took over, and Zach Arnett has proven to get critical game experience that obviously could help this team in 2023.
Certainly so. A 9-win season when all is said and done for Mississippi State, in one final win for Mike Leach. Joe, I shared out a video of Will Rogers after the game-winning field goal goes through as the kicker for Mississippi State. I'm looking up his name here to make sure I have the proper pronunciation. It was give me 1 second. Sorry for the stumble here. His name was Massimo Biscardi. A 27-yarder goes through as Will Rogers orchestrates a 9-play, 68-yard drive in the final 2 minutes to give Mississippi State the lead, and then ultimately the 60-yard touchdown return by Marcus Banks off the pitchy-pitchy woo-woo gives Mississippi State the cover. But as the field goal sails through the uprights, Joe, they cut to Will Rogers on the sideline. Again, he was with Mike Leach for all 3 years that Leach was in Starkville, and he took a moment, Joe, to let it sink in, to realize what this moment, what this game meant to him, his team, his football program, the entire town of Stark Vegas, as it was known, for one final celebration of Mike Leach, his persona in college football, his impact on the sport of football overall in the modern game, and what he meant to Will Rogers and his teammates at Mississippi State. It's a beautiful moment, Joe. It's why we love college football as much as we do. The fourth and final game, Joe, for us to recap from January 2nd, 2023, to start off a new year, was in the Citrus Bowl, the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, to be in fact. And LSU, Joe, absolutely routs Purdue and the interim staff that saw Drew Brees in there as an interim assistant coach. It was Brian Brohm, the younger brother of Jeff, the former offensive coordinator for Purdue, who I think will join his brother in Louisville, but stayed behind to coach one final game. An interim staff is Ryan Walters, will take over next year at the helm in West Lafayette. And Joe, it showed. LSU caps off a very successful first season, though, under Brian Kelly in Baton Rouge, with its 10th victory of the year. And Joe, they hammer Purdue 63-7, the only double-digit favorite in bowl season thus far to cover the number, as the Bayou Bengals were a 15.5-point favorite.
Oh, they took him to the woodshed. I mean, they absolutely abused them at every level. I mean, it wasn't even close. This resembled not as bad. Well, this was worse. But last year, when LSU had 20 players on that opted out of that bowl game, and Kansas State kicked them around in the bowl game, and they started a wide receiver, this was similar. I mean, this Purdue team did not look like they were prepared. Obviously, lack of talent. No Aiden O'Connell. The passing attack was non-existent. Austin Burton and the quarterbacks that they they used, I mean, were inconsistent. They only completed 19 of 42 passes. Think about, you know, the efficiency of a Jeff Brom offense, and to throw for 169 yards with three interceptions is just inconsistent and not a very good effort, right? But on the flip side, you have an LSU team that just has multiple layers of talent at every level. Noah Kim, the former Penn State running back, had a big day, right? We talk about the quarterbacks next year with Nussmeier and Jaden Daniels. Everybody in Baton Rouge is now clamoring for a potential quarterback battle. Brian Kelly said Jaden's our quarterback, right? Keyshawn Booty, hopefully he does come back to Baton Rouge, because they have multiple with skilled talent there that this team that won the West could duplicate that, right? And more importantly, this year in 2023, they potentially could take the next step and crack the college football playoff. I honestly believe that Brian Kelly could take this team to the promised land. So optimism for LSU right now. Now they have to obviously carry that through, but this was a total beatdown. I mean, obviously there shouldn't have been a line on the game because of how dominant LSU was on both sides of the ball, Ben.
And there was some reports, Joe, over the weekend that New Jersey gaming regulators in the state of NJ had taken this game down off the board, and they were instructed to do so because of Drew Brees working in the interim capacity as part of the Boilermaker staff, given Brees' sponsorship and partnership with PointsBet and some of those logistical challenges that go into it. For most of the bowl season, though, LSU, a 15.5-point favorite. They are the only double-digit favorite to cover so far, Joe, the first of six. All six have won outright. LSU, the first to cover against the number. Joe, as we look at where things are, speaking of double-digit favorites, we'll take another look at the national championship game between Georgia and TCU, because we have seen more movement in the past 24 hours for a game that is now just 6 days away. Next Monday night in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium between the number 3 Horned Frogs and the reigning national champs, the number 1 Georgia Bulldogs. We'll look at that to round out the show up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle for a couple more minutes on today's show. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Joe, we have now seen even more line movement for the national championship game upcoming on Monday night. And as I spoke those words, more movement back in the other direction, because as of this Tuesday morning, Joe, TCU moved down to just a 12.5-point underdog against Georgia from the early look-ahead line before the semis that was at 16.5 in favor of the top dogs. Now it's back to 13.5 in favor of UGA, where it was following the New Year's Eve college football playoff semifinal Saturday, Joe. So we've seen it work both ways now. We're 6 days out from the national title in L.A. What's your assessment, Joe Lisi?
I still have to give it to the dogs. I talked about it, that it's a week of preparation as opposed to 3 weeks. And obviously the turnovers played a critical matchup in terms of TCU jumping out to that lead. This game to me is going to be won in the trenches. And I think Georgia goes and tries to do exactly what Michigan couldn't do, and that was establish the run, wear them down, and then work off a play action with Stetson Bennett. Let's keep in mind as well too, Ben, if you want to take TCU, maybe you take them in the first half because of the feeling out process, and I do feel that Georgia will be able to wear them down in the second half. So, I mean, I think Georgia covers this number. I lean to the under because of the rushing attacks. I think the first half might be an under as well, as both teams feel each other out.
62.5 is that total for the game overall. And Joe, we'll just finish with this. After a very scary and terrifying scene last night in Cincinnati, the latest update we have for you on DeMar Hamlin is the one we shared at the top of the show from the Buffalo Bills organization overnight in a sincere thank you from the Hamlin family that we also shared earlier in this show. As more updates come along over the next few days, we will share them here on Football Full Circle. But as we can both say, Joe Lisi, we just pray for DeMar Hamlin to get through this battle now, and we send our thoughts and our prayers to him, his family, the entire Bills organization, and the NFL in general. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. That will do it for us today on Football Full Circle, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.